actually on the air now. So what if you say is recorded? It's like the policeman. Everything's going to be held against you now. So if you got anything to say, Leviticus chapter 10. You got your Bible? Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10. As the old saying goes, I may just bust some of your bubbles tonight on your way of thinking. Because there's some reason why that the prayers have not been answered of the saints. There is some reason. Just maybe that we're not praying right. Maybe we've not got our life together, our act together, as you'll say and go. Maybe that we're sending up strange incense and using strange fire, F-I-R-E, the purifying agent. Are you with me? Listen, God is a holy God. And in order for us to approach him, we must be holy ourselves. Now, I'm going to show you here in a minute. You cannot approach a holy God and you not be holy. If you do, I'll tell you, it's dangerous. In the Bible, they was killed. I just put it bluntly. But you offering it up, just maybe that we're going before the Lord with a bad attitude. Maybe we got bitter in our life. Maybe we got envy. And we're trying to approach a God that's got all understanding. And we're trying to approach a God that is a God of love and patience and understanding. Just maybe that we have got ourselves in such a mess that we think we're the only ones that can approach God. Are you listening to me? It may be that we picked up a strange fire along the way and we're sending up things to heaven that God is not listening to. Amen? Now, I'm going to read this story to you and I'm going to show you what happens when we don't get our act together. I don't know how this is going to come out. I didn't even number my pages, my notes or nothing. I just throwed it in and I've been studying this for over a week trying to get it all together. But incense is the prayers that's sent up to heaven. In essence, that's what it amounts to. You read in the Bible where angels carried them up and where angels released them out of containers before the Lord. And we are the same way. We're supposed to pray daily, day and night, but we're supposed to have our act together down here. Everybody said, oh, I can't be perfect. You can in the eyes of God. May not be with each other, but we can with God. We can be perfect. What did he say? Be ye perfect as I am perfect. So you can be perfect in the eyes of the Lord. If your mind is stayed upon the Lord constantly, day and night, then you can approach the throne. But if it's not, that's why the devil wants to distract us so much. That's why when he gets close to his church service, the devil wants to throw everything that he can our way to get it going in all different directions. Every time you make a commitment for the Lord, you can just expect that the devil's going to release every imp that he can against you. Amen? So that's the way it is in prayer. The devil knows all about you. When you get down to prayer, he's going to put every thought that he can in your mind to get you down from praying. He will. He'll do it. Let me read this to you here. I'm going to show you some things. Now, the Bible starts in chapter 10 of Leviticus. The sons of Aaron, this is where they disobeyed and they died. And it said, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein. Now we say F-I-R-E, fire, but it's F-I-fire what it is. And put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. You see, we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We are not our own no more. We have got no right to have any kind of polluted thoughts. Amen. We've not. Now, come on now. If you've been bought with a price, you're trespassing. You're walking on dangerous ground when you walk on the other man's property. We've been bought with a price. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them. Yeah, and devoured them. And they died before the Lord. Now here's the kicker. Then Moses said unto Aaron, This is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified. Amen? What What does the Bible say? Come out from among the world. Be you peculiar. Be you different. Amen. We cannot go out here and have under the table dealings. We cannot go out here and cheat each other. We cannot go out here and lie and then expect to go into the holies of holies, into the throne room of God. God will not accept it. I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me. And before all the people, I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. See, because this was Aaron's two sons that had just been brought into the priesthood, if you would. They was young into this. And they was excited about it all, being a priest. So in some of the offerings, they were allowed to drink wine. So one of the commentaries said that just maybe that Nadab and Abihu was drunk when they offered up this sacrifice. It doesn't matter but to the Lord. The Lord said that I will be sanctified. You can get drunk all you want to. It doesn't matter. God will not accept that as an excuse. Here was two men that was brought up in the priestly order in the house of a priest, and now they were sitting into the same position, and here they begin to offer up strange bar. First of all is, you got to look at it this way. The tabernacle in the wilderness was an open, big open building. It was 150 foot long and 75 feet wide. Now picture that in your mind. I went out here and measured this church, and it's about, what, 40 feet long, 45 feet long, 50 feet, 60 feet from the pulpit back. About 60 feet from the pulpit back. The tabernacle in the wilderness was 75 feet wide. But inside that open air that where the public could come in, there was another building. And you got to realize here was 45 feet long and 15 foot wide, and in that was the holies of holies. And the priest had to go in. But the first thing you seen when you went into this open air, this tabernacle, if you would, in the wilderness, was the brazen altar. The brazen altar was a place of sacrifice. Did Jesus not give the ultimate sacrifice for you and I? The priest had to come before the altar for the shedding of blood before they could go any further. But I'm not going to go through all the six tiers of the tabernacle tonight, but I want to just go on down just a little bit further. Inside that open air, was the holies of holies, which was 45 by 15. But inside that holies of holies, there were three pieces of furniture. And on one side was the showbread. On the other side was the menorahs. But right in the middle, just before you entered into the holies of holies, was the altar of incense. Are you with me? You remember the priest, what they said about the priest. You put pomegranates on the end of the rope, and they would rattle and they would shake. And when they went in, one commentary said they tied a rope around their ankle so that when they went into the holies of holies, if the bells quit ringing, that they drug them out because they wasn't qualified to enter into the holies of holies. Are you with me? So they had to go in. They had to go into the brazen altar to sacrifice. But before that they could enter into the holies of holies, they had to send up the right incense at the altar of incense. Now, over in the other parts of the old Bible, it told the things that they put together to form this incense. But it said you take a small amount of it and you put it on the altar of incense and you begin to burn. Well, these two priests got the fire from the wrong place. The fire had to be brought from the brazen altar back to the altar of incense in order to be correct. But these two men here, these two new priests, had got the fire from some other source. Well, I don't care whether you like it or not. Grandma done it this way, and praise God, I'm going to do it this way too. Grandma might have been wrong. Grandma just may have been wrong. Bless her heart. I love my grandma, but if she's wrong, I can't follow her. You know what my younger brother won? The next one down for me, number three, I'm number two. They always call me number two. So many of them say numberless. It was number three to down, and my daddy was a drunk, got drowned and fell out of the boat. He said, wherever my daddy's at, that's where I want to be. I said, not me. Not if he's drunk. I'm sorry, daddy, you're on your own. I cannot and I do not. So that's the same way of sending up the incense. Listen, we have got to get these vessels together. We've got to move like God's told us to move. We've got to do the way God wants it to be done. In order to God to move on our behalf, we've got to be godly. We've got to be Christ-like. We've got to present these bodies a living sacrifice, holy before the Lord, and real. we've got to do what God told us to do and quit not trying to do our own self, own work. Whoo, glory. I feel the preacher man coming out. Lord, have mercy. Then they go get the incense. The first thing is, the incense is done by one priest only. They go in in twos and do it. That's a no-no. In the priesthood, Levitical priesthood, you don't do that. They was not ordered to do it. They go in by two to do it. They get strength power to burn the incense, to stand it up before God, and God rejects it. Are we different than these men was? We're standing in day one. We can go in to the holies of holies without going through a priest. We can go in God's presence. So, church, listen, I believe that we're on dangerous ground because the Bible said that he would cut you off without remedy. We come to the knowledge of knowing the way to enter into God's presence, and yet we refuse to do that because we have to reject this fleshly way of doing things and get into the spiritual walk with God. Make me work tonight. Whew, glory, hallelujah. I'll tell you what, this is something else if we just line up with it. We need prayers answered. Even more so in the days that's coming upon us. You said, oh, God's going to take care of one man. Said, I ain't going to do nothing. Praise God. God's going to take care of me. You sat right there and die. You sat right there and do nothing. God didn't call us to do nothing. He called us to do something. God told us to get out and get out and seek the Lord. He said to go out in the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. If you see your brothers are suffering, go out and help them along. He didn't call us to sit down. He called us to get up and be about the Father's business. Woo! We love this. I don't know what you call it. Do nothing. We love it because that's human nature. Just bring it on. Bring it on. I just ain't going to do it. Bring it on. Listen, the Bible said you don't work, you shouldn't eat. The Bible says, hey, a laborer is worthy of par. Amen. If you'll get up and be about the Father's business and get this Bible thing lined up in you and get yourself lined up with this Bible, then God will come down on your behalf when you need him. Whew. We've got so much stuff in this world computerized, it's pathetic. We have computerized everything. Now we think that we computerized the Word of God and manipulated and controlled it. You see the new scroll that they found? That it says something about Jesus and a wife, and they're saying that Jesus had a wife. I don't think so. We've changed it around, and everybody wants to go out of religion. It's like the preacher said, you tie an old donkey up out here and start worshiping him, and I guarantee you, you'll gather in a crowd. That's where we're standing today. We are different people. We are called by his name. We're a chosen generation. We're a royal priesthood. We are somebody in God's kingdom. The devil might not like it, and I don't care about the government, but we are somebody. We're a child of the God of the universe. We're a child of the Jehovah. We are a child of the living God. I'll tell you, that's shouting ground right there, and I ain't even got no words. Lord, have mercy. Woo, Lord, listen. This incense had to be burnt first thing in the morning and the last thing at night. I believe that we are to be praying when we get up in the morning. I believe that we are to be praying when we go to sleep at night. Amen? What's wrong in the church then? If we believe that we're supposed to be doing that, what's our problem? Can I get rough tonight? Woo! Let's not sit back and act like we got it if we ain't got it. Let's go to the altar. Let's get something so that we can have it when we need it. Let's go to the horns of the altar and say, God, here I am. I've messed up again. Make me what you'd have me to be. Let's be bold enough for a change to say, God, cleanse me and make me all over. What did David say when he messed up? He said, wash me that I might be whiter than snow. We've got this pride attitude thing about us. God's a wooing the people in the whole church to come to him, and we rebel and stand back, and God just said, that's my people. They're called by my name, but they're not drawing close to me. And when when you don't draw close to God, he'll not draw close to you. You refuse God, and he'll refuse you. The That's what we're getting right here. We're praying like we should. God will move for us. Am I wrong? Lord, 20 minutes already gone by. I ain't got time. Here's something else that I figured out. I'm going to throw these in here. One of these nights I'm going to talk. I'm going to bring my poster in here, talk about the tabernacle in the wilderness. All the 6 years in there, but not tonight. Amen? Here's something else I found out. There was four posts at the entrance of the tabernacle in the wilderness. Four of them. Brother Lee's probably known all of this. And here's what it really got me. The curtains where you can entrance in. There was only one way in and one way out. That was on the east post. The tabernacle was always facing toward the east. What does the Bible say? Gonna split that eastern sky. Gonna come back after us one day. Church, I'm a looking for that. I'm not looking to the west. I'm not looking to the south. I'm a looking to the east. He's a coming back, church. And those that are looking for him will be. So all the way to the west end was the holies of holies. Woo. But the important doorpost at the beginning, it was purple, scarlet, blue, and white. Four of them enter in. If you ever done a search in the Bible and found out what scarlet is and purple is, oh, it's something. You can't preach on it in one night, church, but it's essential for us to learn, hey, there's only one way in. There's only one way out. I don't care what some big actress says in California. There's only one entrance way into God. There's only one way in, and there's only one way out. The devil can't take us out, church, unless we allow him to take us out. Amen. But we're sitting back, letting him have a heyday with their children, with their grandchildren, with their relatives. This beautiful United States of America. Don't get me wrong. I fought for this country. I love this United States of America. But we have set back as a Christian nation. We allow them to shove Muslimism down our throat. We allow them to shove these other religions down because we have got a free country. But Jesus is the author and the finisher of my faith. He's the one that George Washington prayed to. He's the one that Congress better turn around and begin repenting to. It's not some Buddhist that's sitting on a shelf somewhere. It's the living God that is sitting on the throne in heaven. Raymond got an email about the Marines was praying. Picture showed all the Marines praying. And ACLU wanted to shut them down and said, they're on government property. They are our government. We are government property once we go in the military. And the ACLU wanted to shut them down immediately. And the big official over all of them, the big general or whatever he was over the Marine Corps, sent a letter back. And said he told, and it said in fine letters, been kindly reworded, because the Marines know how to cuss, I'm telling you what. So it's reworded. He said, tell the ACLU where they can wind up at, because we're still going to be praying. We're still going to be seeking the Lord. I want to tell you something. God made this United States of America. ACLU didn't make it. No Buddhist didn't make it. No Hindu didn't make it. Until we turn back to this living God, we're going to let them go down and down. I said it in a church and I asked on Sunday. I said, if the Bible said that two agreeing on any one thing, their souls shall it have. Why can't out of so many millions of people across the United States of America, we can't get two people to come together and agree on one thing? Think about it. 40, 50 people in attendance here, or 60. If we could just come together 100%, what did James say? The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If we could come together, we could see things change. But we can't do it. Well, I'm going to go to church Thursday night. Really don't feel like it. Really don't see any reason to going. I get preached to twice on Sunday, and Brother Lennox teaches us on Sunday morning. I really don't see no sense in it. It's almost 20 miles, and it might take about $3 of my gas. And gas is getting higher, you know that. Sitting right there convincing herself that God is no importance to her. I want to tell you something. I believe the Bible says it's better to enter the kingdom of heaven without any arms, without any eyes, but to enter in to the gates of heaven, knowing that we paid the price, knowing that we struggled along the way. I want to tell you something. It's worth fighting for. It's worth getting down and laboring. It's worth traveling in prayer to see God begin to move again. Let's begin to send up the right incense, and let's get the fire sanctified and filled up holy like God is, so that things will begin to happen. I'll tell you, this is what I've done. I just quit talking to those that want to turn me down. I just get like a knot on a log. I just hush. I don't mean to be rude, and I'm not above nobody else. But I've got enough problem to keep my head above water than to hear some Christian saying, "You just don't know what kind of day I've had." No, if you've been born again, you ought to be a lively stone. If you've been born again, you ought to be standing up praising Jehovah instead of laying over to the enemy and accepting defeat. You know what they breed in our head? Now, I'm not on the soldiers again now. When I went in the Marine Corps at 17 years old, they beat it in our head that we, literally, that we were the best. And you take a 17-year-old kid for 4 months and beat that into their head. After 4 months, they think they can whoop the world. Amen? How long have you been born again? How long have you been standing in God's army? God's not got a bunch of water boys. God's not got no reservists. God's got men and women that's supposed to be battled up and armored up and taking on the foe and standing in the battlefield. I'm knowing that God will never leave you. Never could understand that. I found out different when I went to Vietnam, though, Brad. We couldn't whoop everybody. I found that out real quick, that there's some little bitty people out there trying to kill you. But I also found out that 79, when I knelt to the old-fashioned altar, and this man called Jesus, and I still can't explain it, he met me at the altar, and he changed me. When I got up, I was an entirely different person. I have never been the same. How about you? If he can change us that much, that short of time, why can't we let him change us a little bit more? Why can't we let him do what he wants to do and make us that super Christian that we're supposed to be? We're not supposed to be privates in God's army. We're all supposed to be leaders in God's army. Let these other religions come in second place if they want to, but let's get a hold of God, and let's put the stripes up here instead of down here. Let's do what God's told us to do, and let's let God manifest himself in our life greatly.
Well, if you don't understand,
here's where I'm at. Remember, I've said it many times. You all heard me. Give me 100 acres. Give me a cabin right in the middle. I don't have to ever see nobody. I can live and die. But it's no good like that. We can't live like that. Christian fellowship is important, and knowing God is important. You can't get out here. No mercy. One writer said that no man is an island. We cannot live by ourselves. We've got to have God's fellowship. We've got to have Christian fellowship. We've got to know God's word. We've got to know him in a personal relationship.
Brad, I do this all the time. So, you know, don't say I'm just preaching on you. We're glad to have Brad with us. So. Amen. Hallelujah. We must be holy for. We must be set aside. God has called every one of us into a special work.
You see, I'd sure like to be a preacher.
Well, I'll trade places with you any time. It's not no picnic. You get hit from every corner. Your imagination is the first thing the enemy attacks you with. You be sitting at your desk and everything in the world goes on. Houses falling down. Termites is eating the walls out. Huh? Somebody walked around the house. They're about ready to rob us. Huh? Come on now. Come on, B. Let's be realistic. I better jump up and run to Lindo, tell you. I'd run and jump down the stairs and go out lots of. The dogs are barking. Maybe somebody's stealing gas. You know what that is? That's a distraction by the enemy.
because the thoughts are beginning to enter. I find out, Brother Link, that every time that I start to enter in where God's talking to me, something distracts me. Every time. So, this morning at 2 o'clock, the dog was barking. I looked out the window and I didn't see nothing upstairs. So I go downstairs and didn't see nothing. So you know me, I said, shut up! Whole neighborhood light comes on, every neighborhood, just about probably. So at 3 o'clock, 3:30, I go back and I just barely get my eyes. Dog starting. I said, maybe I overlooked whatever it was. So I go back downstairs in my pajamas now. And it's cold. It's cold. I go outside and I said, will you dog shut up? The Lord said, I'm trying to talk to you. I lost it. Brother Meeks, I lost it. At 3:30 in the morning outside, I lost it. It's a shame that God has to use things like this, circumstances, to get our attention. So I came back in the house. I got down in front of my couch and I began to pray. And Lord, I didn't want nothing. I just want to thank you, Lord. You're so good. You're great, Lord. I just want to say thank you and I love you. I went back to bed. See, God can use anything he wants to use to get your attention. But God wants us to send up that fresh incense. That's just acceptable for him. Can I go on? Lord have mercy. We send in strange fire. We send it up strange incense. Listen, here's a real prime example in Acts chapter 5. Sapphire and Ananias. That newly accepted fire that had come down from heaven was in their life. Yet they lied about what this. They didn't have to give half what they didn't. There's no law required that. But when they come before the priest, they said, I have give a certain portion. And when the spouse, the person was taken out dead, then the second one come in and they have made it up. You see, wrong incense up before the Lord. What did the priest say? You didn't lie to me. You lied unto the Holy Ghost. They can call him Casper the Ghost. They can call him whatever they want to. But he is a gentleman. He is the Holy Ghost, capital letters. He is part of the Godhead. Whether the world wants to accept it or not, he is a sitting right there for you and I. He's watching out. Lord have mercy. Let me get to some notes here. Lord have mercy. The altar of incense was a place of prayer. It was right before the veil of the Holy of Holies. The altar represents prayers to God. Are we praying to God? Or are we just playing games? They took a survey and they said it was about 70 or 80% of Pentecostals that played games in church. We went to a Pentecostal church the other night and put them iPad, what it flopped out? Is that what it's called? It flopped out and he got the screen there and everything. The preachers was into that while the preacher was preaching. I don't know whether he was taking notes or what. I'm not going to say, but how can you do all of that and concentrate on that when you've got a man up there teaching the Word of God? We pray for men to come and teach us, but we won't come out. He don't look right. He's not what I think he ought to be. Maybe you ought to walk in his steps for a while and see where he has been. Maybe that you'll want to take the load back off and begin to work for yourself. Because we can't point. The Bible says he that put forth the finger, and the preacher said, look how many you're pointing back at yourself. We have to be awful careful. This is hard words. The aroma of the incense went up when before the Lord when that was put on the fire. It didn't go up until it was burnt. Same way about you and I. The incense doesn't go up until we get into the trial. Come on now. We are purified by fire. And when the fire comes in, then the realness of you comes out, whether it's good or whether it's bad. And what preacher told me, he said, God knows that when I mash my finger, I lose it. God knows everything about you. If you curse when you mash your finger, you just might curse when the load gets too heavy. Don't expect God to move on your behalf and you out here saying things and acting like you're not supposed to be acting. We use it as a cop-out. I've heard people say, well, you're an old man. You know what it's all about. It's the same requirements for the young as the old. It doesn't matter. still cares about, and we still got to send up the right incense. Individually, that's what it's all about. Whew, Lord. Prayer is what draws us into God's presence. Only that. How many of you have prayed an hour this week? Don't put your hands up. Don't put your hands up. I won't get embarrassed. How many of you have prayed 15 minutes this week? How many of you have prayed 10 minutes this week? You know what? When we was working on that church in Middlesboro, I set Tuesday aside, not just me, but some more brothers. We got together, brothers and sisters, you know. And we said, we want you to pray 15 minutes. 15 minutes every Tuesday. 15 minutes. You know what the neighborhood preachers begin to come and ask us? What are you doing? They ain't got no room to park. People just mobbing in from everywhere. If they didn't come just because there was church, they come to see what's going on. And you remember what I told you about one preacher? He said, how do you draw such a big crowd? He said, I simply set myself on fire with the Holy Ghost, and they come and watch me burn. So if that's the case, then we ought to set ourselves on fire with the Holy Ghost too. If we want, Jesus said if he be lifted up, not Jack Welch or anybody else, but if he be lifted up, and the only way he's going to be lifted up if we send up the right incense. Bitter as sweet water does not come from the same fountain. It'll never happen that way. If you're not where you ought to be with God, you'll not talk godly talk. You can't handle the devil. Not by yourself, you can't handle the devil. Don't even try it. The sons of Sceva tried that. The devil stripped them everything they had and sent them down the road. So you don't need to be trying it either, amen? Look at here now. They accompanied Moses from place to place. Moses' nephews is who this was. Yet when it come right down to knowing what to do, they got into their cell. You see, if we're not careful, one man said the biggest problem I've got in myself, and Paul said that he had to crucify himself daily to get things right with God. So if that's the case, then we got a real job on our hand, haven't we? It's not your neighbor next door, it's you that's got a problem, or me. Some people don't like this. Brother Bill, you might get some repercussion on this if that's the right word. They got themselves exalted. They had pride in their life. We just got into this new position, and now we want to go out and do it. God didn't ask them to do it. God's not asking you to do something. You just wait on God by orders. That's why he used us as an army. Army always follows the commands. They do whatever the higher command says. You know, I wondered about that. Brad and Gene were two soldiers in here. I wondered about that. Why did they beat that into you so specific to obey orders no matter what? Our creed was to do or die, to never ask why. That's what our creed was in the Marine Corps. But I understand that a combat infantryman, his life expectancy in actual combat was only 30 seconds. But they said if we can get 100,000 men to last 30 seconds in combat and take out 15 or 20 enemies, think about the last man that's standing. What about the generation that's coming up after us? Are we representing God correctly with them? Or are we painting a bad picture because we're not sending up the correct incense? I remember when I first got saved in 79. It wasn't nothing, Brother Bill, for us to meet at the church and pray for 4 or 5 hours at a time. Just praying, seeking the Lord. We didn't want anything specific. We just simply called upon God and praised and magnified him till sweat became big drops of sweat and hit the floor. They laugh at you. Then one preacher said, you don't have to pray that long to get your prayers answered. I said, I agree with you. But he said, you can't pray a little bit of prayer and get it answered either, so make up your mind. You want to pray a long prayer or a little prayer? You pray the way God told you to pray until you get satisfied in the spirit, and then God will move on your behalf. I found out a long time ago you can't satisfy people. five sins that Nadab and Abihu, the priest, done. And we fall right in the category. Now listen to this. They did what was not commanded. We do the same thing. Well, I got a program out here. I'm going to apply this to the church, but nobody ain't coming. Wonder why. One preacher said he had invested $100,000 in programs for the church, and they was only running like 20 people on Sunday night. I said, did you pray about it? Did you really, 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 really pray about it? You see, that's what it's all about. We're doing things just because we think it's right. And then we'll push Jesus back out of the picture so the crowd will come in. We won't preach hard. We won't tell them that they got to live a sanctified life. We won't tell them, Brother Bill, that they've got to live a holy life before a holy God. We won't tell them that, but the crowd's still growing. Thank you, Brother Bill, for getting me into this. They offered up their own part, and not with the part that was off the altar that was sanctified. We're doing the same thing. We'll have the rottenest attitude ever was, and we'll get down before God and say, God, we sure do love you. Amen? Come on now. Let's be realistic. I found myself in the same category. Be so mad I couldn't hardly stand. I said, well, if I'm just going to pray for a while, I'll be all right. No, it's the same way when I got up. Amen? We need to learn how to praise him before we start praying. You know, praise brings deliverance. Praise softens up the heart. Did you know that? Praise will bring the presence of God down. And then when God comes down, then you can really pray. You can enter into your closet or your self-isolation, and you can pray to God the way God wants you to pray. We don't have a $100 word to get God's attention. All we got to have is the word from our heart. They offered incense at the wrong time. The wrong place. Do we do the same thing? There's one Christian that every time I see them, if it's in a public place, they always make it a point to say, praise the Lord, Brother Jack. But nowhere else they never say that. Amen. In the church, you know how they say, how you doing, Brother Wilk? But out in the public, praise the Lord, Brother Wilk. But it don't matter how many times they praise the Lord in front of me. It don't matter. It matters before God. You need to be here and out there the same way. I'm still looking for the man that prays for them in Walmart and they fall out in the spirit. I ain't seen that yet. I'm still looking for Jesus to come back too. I haven't seen that yet either. But I know that he's coming. I know that he's preparing. I know that there's excitement in heaven because everything is falling apart. But God is still in control. I believe the Bible says when you see Jerusalem compassed around, look up for your redemption draws nigh. And the whole world is about turned against Israel, even the United States with our president that speaks with a forked tongue. They failed to sanctify themselves. We're the same way. Listen, if you don't love your brother, how can you love? If you don't love your neighbor, how can you love God? I'm not saying put up with them, but that you got to love them. I had a neighbor, we sold him a piece of property. And I told you they throw watermelon rinds and everything over my field. You can mow my field with a lawnmower. Corn cobs and everything else. I go throw it right back over the fence. And he was running out one day. And I said, throwing their cross. He come and run out. I said, what are you doing? I said, this all belongs to you, man. I didn't buy it. I didn't need it. It's all yours. That went on probably for 2 or 3 months. Then one day he had that water inside of him that makes you feel like a man. You know what I'm saying? They call it liquor. Up with the fence. And he said, I want to tell you something. He said, the next time you throw something across my fence, and I reckon God even drug him right on my side. I said, now you're on my side of the fence. What are you going to say to me? I'd have lost it. And the Lord said, hey, you've got to be a Christian. I picked him up. The Lord just chastised me right there. Brad, I picked him up, and I said, I'm sorry. You'd have to know him. Holly knows him.
I said, I'm sorry. But I said, don't come to me with power water inside, have you? Tell me what you're going to do. Where do you get it? That alligator with talent. So you see, at that particular time, good incident was not going up. We're supposed to be able to turn the other cheek. But God knows we're human. Amen? He wasn't big as me. He wasn't Brother Big Bill. I wouldn't grab Brother Bill and bring him across the fence. I want him on my side when he's mad, though. He's still on his side of the fence, you know. But we've got to watch what we do. The devil will lead us into trails. There's no return. The devil will take us down paths and we'll be destroyed. That's what I'm talking about here tonight. He got drunk and sought to carry it out. We cannot be in the other spirit of the devil and enter into the spirit of God. It will not work. It won't work. God won't put up with it. Here are some of the things that the altar of incense typifies. Meditation of Christ. The brazen altar in the court was a type of Christ a dying on earth for you and I. That's why the priest had to come before. God sent his only begotten son for you and I. And you very seldom hear that mentioned in the church anymore. But without Jesus, the shedding of his blood, we would have no. The golden altar in the sanctuary was a type of Christ interceding in heaven. See, he's a sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's not dead like they say. He's not in no tomb out there. He's not in no cross. He's not hanging on no cross over there somewhere. He's a sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's a listening to what's going on here tonight. Why don't we understand that? With the attitude and things that we do. But it's something, isn't it? To think about how God loves us, but God's expecting us to be like him as much as we can. This altar was before the mercy seat, for Christ always appears in the presence of God for us. It had to be there because he is the advocate for the Father. This altar had a crown fixed up on top of it, for Christ intercedes for us. Everything in the all six pieces of furniture was overlaid with pure gold. Can you imagine that? Boy, I read one place, you talk about gold. Here's your little something on the side. I read something in the altar for Queen of Sheba sent David 145 tons of gold. Woo, Lord have mercy. Somewhere in that area, it's awful close. 145 tons, I believe. I said, Lord, and 1 ounce brings you $1,700. Is that right? My goodness, bring me 1 ton. Bring me 1 ton. That's all I need. Amen. The devotion of the saints. While the priest was burning incense, the people was praying in the outer court. That's what it's all about. We, when the pastors are preaching, we ought to be interceding on his behalf. Say, preach him, Lord. Preach him, Lord. Send in on him, Lord. Shake him up, Lord. Make him what he ought to be. Amen. And be sincere about it. And watch what God will do. Prayer is the true incense of the saints. You can say what you want to, but if you're not a praying person, you're not a heavenly person. Right? They say, well, I just ain't got time. You don't understand. You're too busy. You need to slow down. The lamps were lit morning and night. Fresh oil was put in. The fire was taken off the brazen altar and brought back up to the altar of incense so the priest could use it during the day. So we got to, that's the same way of us praying every day. That reading the scripture, prayer and praise all go together. Amen. I have found out by experience that if you get down to read without praying first, it'll take you 4 or 5 times as long to understand. If you pray first, he will lead you into a different understanding. Amen. Now, we're a child of the King. He will lead us in it, but it takes longer. When we speak to God, we must hear what he says to us. Remember in all the churches of Asia, he said, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Hear means understand. And thus, the communion is complete between God and us. When we hear what God is saying. You say, God don't speak. God speaks all the time. He speaks to the little birds in the field. He speaks to the animals walking around. He speaks to us through everything. Just look around. God is talking to us. The changing of the time are coming in view. God is speaking to us in everything. heart's not right, you better stay out of the holies. You better stay out of the holies. You better stay out of the presence of God. You know that God's only required to hear one prayer of a sinner, and that's the prayer of repentance. And I've heard drunks say, "Well, I prayed last night, man. Oh, I got in, I prayed last night." What was you praying to? I hated old slobbery drunk, don't you? And that one I tell you about dragging across me, it's the same way. Bought a big old new Harley, come up here and said, "Jack, come on and ride it." I said, "No, I better not. I quit them 40 years ago. I better not." But he gets that way. And he grabbed Linda and he said, "I'm going to have to hug Linda." And hug Linda. And I said, "Don't hug her too much now. That don't work. I'm not drunk. Don't hug her too much, you know." But that old slobbery drunk. But he has not been mad at me since I drug him across the fence. He's been a good person, though. But I told him that I loved him and I appreciated him. Psalms 141 and 2 said, "Let my prayer be set before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." David knew what he was talking about. David knew what he was talking about. You go to Revelation 5 and 8, it's incense that's put up, typifies the prayers of the saints going up. And we need to send them up. Amen? See, we ain't got time. See, there's 50 minutes and we ain't got time. But pray for me, all right? God is good.